I'm Katie and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode number 14, and this week I'm talking to Mel from Raising a Daisy on Instagram. We talk about home educating as a single parent, and we get into our experiences with negative attitudes against home education and what to do about it. We also talk about how home ed children's learning and socialising differ when compared to school children. And now, on with the episode. This week, I'm talking to Mel from Raising a Daisy. Hello, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, not a problem at all. Right, first question, tell me a bit about your family.
I'm Mel, I'm 34, from Nottingham. And I'm a solo parent to the Daisy, who has just turned 10. And we have one pet, a dog. That's our crazy life.
Why did you start home educating?
I became curious about home education when my friends that are both teachers, one's a head teacher at a private school and the other is a general teacher, both weren't sending their children to school. So I did my research and found out that Nottingham, the city where we live, there is an amazing mass home education community. So I'd never enrolled her at school. She's never been to school, and we're now into our fifth year if she was at school. So yeah.
So was this when she was still tiny? Well, I guess it must have been when she was still relatively tiny.
Actually, no. I was working full time for the NHS, and unfortunately, my role in the NHS, I was up for redundancy.
Right.
So she went to private day nursery from being 10 months old until she was 4 and a half. So she was about three when I found out about home education. And I did my research. I Googled everything. I read books. I read blogs. And, yeah, I thought to myself, well, if it doesn't work, I could always enroll her at a later date.
Yeah.
We began going to a few like social meets, a few nature groups.
Yeah.
For preschool children that I knew that she could continue after that age.
Yeah.
And yeah, I never looked back really.
There is that bit, I think, because I had a similar thing in that we started looking into it. My eldest was a toddler, and you start sticking, you know, you start sort of reaching out a little bit to the local community. And then you find there's loads of people. There's like all these people doing the stuff you didn't even know was happening.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. That's a big tale out there, isn't it, really? It's nobody, you know, unfortunately, home educators don't grow at the bottom of your garden. You do have to put yourself out there, but yeah, there's loads.
Well, at least these days with the internet, it's not like we have to, you know. I do still think it'd be nice if we had some sort of secret handshake you could initiate or something. Because, you know, sometimes you're walking around and you see other kids, people with kids, you know, in your city or whatever. But, you know, obviously, it's a big place, you don't know everybody.
Yeah.
Because you can't go to all of the groups. And so, you know, you don't meet everybody. You're like, I bet you're home educators. I don't know. I'm too much of an introvert to just go running over and be like, you know, because I always think they're going to go, no, we've just been to the dentist. What are you talking about, you weirdo, or something?
So I'm an introvert, but the Daisy's an extrovert. But I do often think, oh, I wonder if they're home ed, but not a chance am I going to go and ask you. Yeah, she would, definitely. She'd go and ask straight away, but no, maybe I'm a bit reserved. I probably wouldn't ask.
I have been known to send my eldest, who is a bit more of an extrovert, and also who doesn't, you know, he's had no reason to be like, why wouldn't I do that? Just go and ask that person if they're home educated. You'd be like, yeah, why don't you do it? But yeah, sure. You know, I mean, another kid. I don't mean like go up to an adult, you know, like, but like, yeah, we did that at the aquarium in Bristol when we were away a few years ago. And there was another family with school age kids who obviously weren't in school. And it was like, go and ask him. So my son just looked at me and kind of shrugged and went, yeah, all right, then I'll go do it. It's good when you're an introvert having extrovert kids. I mean, obviously, it has its downsides at times as well. But sometimes you just go and ask them a thing.
Yeah,
you answer the phone, it's easier.
Yeah.
So what do you love about home education?
I love the freedom. like the freedom to follow her own interests.
Yeah.
The time we get to dedicate on the things that she, the areas which she struggles with, and also the things that she loves. The freedom to travel out of term time. For her to, like, say that if she was reading a book and wanted to go to, like, Roald Dahl, she had this, she's moved on from Roald Dahl books now. But she said, oh, there's a museum, great, we can go. Whereas beforehand, I'd probably have to, obviously, I'd have to be at the weekend or the school holidays. We could just get in the car and go. So it's definitely a freedom there. And to, like, we've just come back from Devon on holiday, and I connected with another home educator that's on a podcast with you. I don't know if I say her name.
Yeah, yeah, you can.
Yeah. Sorry. Definitely edit that bit out. The messy mum, I'd connected to her years ago on Instagram, and I actually met her this week gone, and it was fabulous. And the children connected like they'd known each other for years.
Oh, really, that's fantastic. Great.
Whether they're like cushy moments that I guess if you're at the school gate, you don't think anything of. But obviously, because you see each other all the time. But I live in Nottingham, she lives in Devon, and although we have had regular contact online for 2 years,
yeah,
never had the pleasure of each other's company. It was just fab. She came and spent the day with us. It was great.
Oh, that's fantastic. I know there's so and there's so many home educators down, like in Devon and Cornwall and stuff.
There is loads, and they seem to have. I mean, don't get me wrong, Nottingham does have a massive community, but they seem to have a bit more of a fluid community down there. Though. I don't know, they all seem to like know each other. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's how I'm seeing it, but I don't know. But, yeah, they seem to have a really nice community down there.
But it's nice when you've made friends in other parts of the country. It's like we're going to Dorset in the summer for a week, and I did suddenly realise, I bet if I put the word out to like a couple of people, like, they might come over, you know, like, or we might go and see them, or they might come and see us and stuff. You kind of realise that actually when you're, you know, when you travel a bit, they're not as far away as they would feel like, when you're, you know, in your normal at home life kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice. And I mean, Daisy's got friends all over the country. I never had that when I went to mainstream school. I had a few friends in the village, and that was my life.
Yeah.
Friends everywhere, and I think that's just amazing. Admittedly, it does take some effort from you as a parent to travel or to keep those lines of communication open, but yeah, I think it's wonderful. At the age of 10, and she's got friends all over the UK and in Spain as well. So yeah,
it's great. Oh wow, that's fantastic. So what's the hardest part?
The hardest part for me, even 5 years in, is negative attitudes still. I appreciate this way of life because I believe home education is a lifestyle choice. It's not just an education choice.
Yeah, totally.
It isn't for everybody, but even like from professionals, I mean, just recently I've tried to access certain services from the NHS, and this is my personal view. I met with, it's because she didn't go to school. I seem to have a chip on my shoulder about home education. I don't know, but yeah, I just think some services are a postcode lottery. I appreciate that. And we are very blessed to have the NHS and not have to be private. But I personally find some services that you do need from the as a parent from the NHS, I've personally struggled, and I know a lot of people have struggled, to get those services just to educate differently. And also, sometimes from the general public, I have now got a thick skin. It used to like bother me sometimes when people said, oh, she's not at school when she was younger, and I used to say, oh, she's home educated. Now I don't even have to say it, she says it for herself.
Yeah.
So I think if you can have a negative attitude to her, then good luck. But just negative attitude really, and sometimes budgeting. I mean, I don't want to say single parent. I'm a solo parent. I am doing it all on my own. Admittedly, it is my choice. I could have put her in the system. She could have done all these wonderful things there. But budgeting. It can be as expensive or inexpensive as you like, but it's so easy to get carried away with it.
Yeah.
Sometimes spend a fortune.
Yes.
Even 5 years in, I have to tell myself, you know, there is another time.
It's hard though, isn't it, when there's lots of opportunities.
Oh yeah, there is, and as I said, because in Nottingham, I mean, if I had the finances and time, we could do something every day of the week.
Yeah.
But you know, I've got to tell myself that no, she can do it another time, basically.
Yeah, totally. You got to spread that stuff out. I think the thing about like negative attitudes from people is it just feels really exhausting when because you feel like you have to educate people. You know, like, and sometimes, I mean, the best I think sometimes I can hope for is that someone's just going to be neutral about it and they're just going to be like, oh, okay. But, you know, yeah, I've had, you know, I mean, our GP has known that we home educate for years because we've been home educating for years. But, you know, sometimes you have to swap and see somebody else because they're available for whatever. And, you know, I've had my blood pressure taken whilst having to explain that, yes, my children are socialised, you know, that, yes, they do go to groups because, you know, whilst being grilled by a GP who doesn't know me, and then goes, oh, your blood pressure's a little high. It's like, can we take it again, please? You know, because they suddenly, you know, because some people just, you know, they come in with a set idea. That basically means the kids live under a cupboard or something, you know, and like under the stairs or something like that. And it's like, do you know what I mean? And it's you're like, well, no, it's not like that. And all they think that because you're the first person they've met, maybe, that you're the only person in this county who's doing it. And then, like, well, how do they see people? You know.
And just recently, the day we had an appointment with the audiologist to have a hearing tested. She's got very sensitive hearing.
Yeah.
I was tested at 5 and again tested again just in case it changed. It hasn't. And it was a case of, well, maybe it's because she's like in a classroom environment. And I just think, like you said, there must be in a cupboard. I just said, I wish you'd just educate yourself a bit better. You know, there are those families that don't probably socialise as much as others, but there might be reasons for that. But, you know, I listed all the activities that she does. I said, she's not on her own. Oh, and because she's an only child as well,
yeah.
I guess. Oh, yeah, believe you me. If she was an introvert, she probably was at home all the time, but she's not at home all the time. She, you know, she was out accessing life. But, yeah, the positive far outweighs the negative, but when you're constantly met with, or because she doesn't go to school, she acts this way, or maybe if she went to school, she wouldn't do this. School doesn't do anything, but, yeah.
The one I got recently from a very well-meaning relative about my eldest was he's really outgoing. He would be an asset to any school. And in the end, I was like, yeah, but he's going to be an asset to the world. Like he's going to be an adult in his own person. He doesn't need to go and like bump up somebody's school by his presence, you know. And he might not if he went to school. Like who knows, you know.
Like the Daisy, she changes what she wants to do when she's an adult. Like the wind, but then again, I'm 34 and I've not quite figured that one out myself. So, and she has like a list of 10 jobs, and my mum would say, "Oh, you need to narrow it down." I go, "Mum, she's 10. She doesn't need to narrow it down." We also actually look at the things that, like, she said she wants to be an art therapist for the NHS. Great, fantastic. We've looked at the salary she'd be on if she did it now.
Yeah.
not that that's a huge factor, but she needs to live.
Yeah.
And we looked at what she'd need, you know, what like GCSEs, A-levels, what that she'd have to go to university. And we've looked at all of that. And then somebody would say to me, can't you like say, oh, working in a supermarket would be great. I said, any job's great as long as you're happy. Happiness to me is everything.
Yeah.
As long as she's happy, that's fine. And then she's quite dramatic. She's this, she's aerial art. And she said, oh, I want to be an aerial artist at the weekend. Lovely, wouldn't it? To be an art therapist for the NHS Monday to Friday and then be an aerial artist at the weekend. And then, I don't know, somebody, another family member or friend will say, but she can't do everything. Why can't she? Let her aim high.
She's 10.
No, maybe
she can
I
do
am.
Whatever she wants.
She's 10. She can do whatever she wants at the age of 10. But, and oh, you're not being real with her. Well, why aren't I being real with her? She can access GCSEs and A-levels just the same as anybody else. In Nottingham, we're fortunate enough that the college take them at 14 to do their GCSEs. If that's what you choose, or any other course.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell her she can't do something. I'm here to tell her she reach for the stars, you know. You might not get there, but surely that's my position as a parent to encourage her. But, yeah.
Now she's 10. Have you had the bit where everyone, like, wants you to justify whether you're going to continue, or explain whether you're going to continue into secondary or not?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay, I've had that from the off. Like, it's great for primary, but are you going to go do the norm for secondary? No, not a chance. To be honest with you, initially it was my decision.
Yeah.
I have every like summer, I've asked her from the age of 7, darling, do you want to give school a try? No.
Yeah.
I go with her. So, yeah, if I was in her shoes, I would not want to change.
No.
But it is her call. She's 10, believe you me, she's as stubborn as an ox, and her life is her life. And I'm hanging on for the ride most days. But if she wanted to go to school, then obviously I'd let her go, but I can't see it changing, not at all.
No, I think people think there's this, I think when you're in the school system, or that's what you know, which is most people, that jump to secondary feels like a really big thing. But then actually, like, when you're doing it, you've got the first 3 years of kind of, like, you know, you're building up to, I guess, the GCSE years. But you're not doing, it's not like it's a, you go over quite a lot of stuff. Do you know what I mean? You kind of, they want to make sure that all of the things that you learnt in primary have really kind of solidly got into your brain. And I just think it's like, well, you know, I end up having to explain how home ed kids have GCSEs, like how they end up doing them and things like that to people, because they just worry that, you know, well, will they get into university? And it's like, well, yeah, they do, if they want to. Yeah. But, you know, but also at the same time, I feel like university is so expensive that you don't just want to chuck an 18-year-old in there who doesn't really know what they want to do with themselves. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you can make some very, you know, they can make some very expensive mistakes. Like, never mind the parent contribution. Like, they themselves, you know, you can have a knock-on for them.
Yeah.
So I guess we probably covered it. But the next question, obviously, is, like, how have you made, like, the hard stuff easier?
I've grown a thick skin. It used to really upset me at the very beginning when people were quite negative. I had quite a negative experience in Boots Pharmacy when she was younger.
Right.
And she asked, did she go to school? And I think she was about 6, maybe. That was when she started answering for herself. Like, she'd answer me, obviously, but being brave enough to not tell other people. And the lady turned around and said, oh, you'll be a damaged adult. And I had to make a form. Well, I complained in store at the time. I made a formal complaint. I did have an apology and some vouchers. That does not obviously say make everything better. But I just said, you know, what part of us is adults? You know, we teach children to speak to others and treat others how you'd expect to be treated yourself. And I don't understand where an adult thinks it's okay to speak to a child or an adult like that. So yeah, definitely a thick skin has grown over the years. I'd like to say part of me doesn't really care about other people's opinions about it, obviously, but that would be a lie. I would be lying.
Yeah, of course.
And I've often said, you know, parents fret no matter which way you educate your child. You fret, are you doing the right thing? Are you supporting them? And I think some people think that as home educated parents, we don't fret like that. And I personally believe nobody frets as much as a home educated parent, that we're doing the right thing. Definitely a thick skin. Grow your circle of home educating parents.
Yeah, that really helps.
Definitely, because I found if I'm having a bad day or a bad week with parenting, I'll go and I'll complain to a member of my family.
Yeah.
And I'll just say, there's always school. And I just think, oh, and then I just shut down because that's not helpful. She's really not helpful at all. Yeah, so definitely grow your circle, even if it's on an online friend that you can't meet for 2 years. Definitely grow your circle of people. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can say that to them, and they'll be like, oh God, I know what you mean, and they'll just be sympathetic, and they won't, you know. Whereas anybody who's outside of that, your family or whatever, will go, well, they'll either say, well, you should send them to school. This is what, you know, this is what it is. Or they'll kind of be like, well, you brought it on yourself because you made this decision. It's like, just a bit of sympathy.
No, I just want some parenting sympathy or hug and tell me tomorrow's a new day. But no, you are often met, even with the most supportive family, Support you on those days. On your bad day, you can guarantee they'll say, well, school is always an option. And that's really not helpful.
No.
I have to laugh. That's an awkward laugh. I have to laugh, but no, it's just not helpful at all.
You do. You have to kind of like make a little, you know, package of like stories that you can tell other home ed parents where you go, and then you know, like where you could either way you say it and then they'll be outraged on your behalf and you're like, yeah, thank you, that was horrid, or where you can, yeah. Somebody says something ridiculous and then you know, you tell them and everyone sort of, we all laugh because it's like, why would you even say that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people did it when they couldn't. I mean, I guess they did find each other and people wrote to each other and, you know, had little.
Yeah, I had a conversation with the Daisy this morning about how I perceive the world today, how it's often every man for itself, and it's not about community and respect, and everything's about instant gratification in this world, because like the likes of Google, it's fantastic. But I don't, you know, somebody at home educated 30, 40 years ago, they didn't have the internet and had to go to a library to do any research. She asked me a question now, if I don't know the answer, I've got Google, haven't I? It's fantastic. I can look for it, or she can look for it for her if I haven't got the answer. Those home educators from way back then, I take my hat off to them, having to go to the library to look in books that are probably 9 years out of date for an answer.
Yeah,
fantastic. But I don't even know. See, I've gone on my tangent. I don't even know where I'm, what I'm answering.
That's all right. I think I remember when we first started home educating, I joined Education Otherwise, which is like an home education. And I think that they have like a phone tree. So they have like each area of the country, they have somebody who, you know, like they have these little like sort of fanzine magazines, if you haven't seen them. They are like, you know, they're home produced and photocopied, and they, you know, and you get them sent out as part of your membership like 3 times a year or something like that. And in the back of there, it'll tell you, it'll list all of the counties, and then it'll tell you like their contact person for there. And I think that's left over from pre-internet or early internet, where you would find this organization, maybe you would find it, I don't know, in the phone book or whatever, or maybe like, I don't know, your LEA or something would, they might know about it. And then, you know, you would join them or you would contact them and they would give you like their local person that you could then ring up and talk to, and they'd tell you what was going on in the area, kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool though. That's quite cute, isn't it? Although, probably a bit, it's obviously outdated because it's not the internet, but yeah.
But I think, I don't know. And if anybody listening to this, like, do let us know if I'm talking rubbish or if this is actually true. But like, I think, yeah, because I think, like, obviously a lot of that then had like the Yahoo groups and whatever, like as it's changed over the time. But I think genuinely it was like you found your contact person and then they would let you know, like, well, there's a meetup in this park or whatever, or you like are interested in this thing. Okay, well, we know these people, and like put you in contact with them and stuff. So, I mean, definitely, you know, I've talked to people on the podcast who are second generation home educators. And, you know, I think there's quite a lot of, you know, browsing through catalogues for interesting books and stuff, and sort of cobbling together curriculum and, you know, using textbooks and stuff. But I think that that's probably at least how the grown-ups found friends and, you know, people they could turn to.
Yeah, definitely find your people.
Finding your people is really, really important. And it does take a bit of time as well, I think. It's not...
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's not instant. Nothing's instant because obviously personalities are different. I remember the home education friends I made when she was younger. I'm not even in touch with now, and it's nothing negative or.
No, it's just how it, you know.
It's just, you know, our children's interests change, and then we're not in the same area, and
Yeah, people move, and they, you know, and I think it's easier for people to move because they're not having to think about, you know, particularly if they're continuing to home educate, they're not thinking about, okay, well, you know, we have to do it at this time of year and how are we going to get them into a school or whatever. So some people move around and you just, you know, you don't see them as much.
No.
Where are we? So is there a typical day in your life or something that resembles it?
Our mornings are very typical.
Yeah.
So our day would go, she still wakes quite early. I'm looking forward to when she's eyes in and she's a teenager.
Yes.
She wakes around 7:30. I guess that's quite late for a school child. we have breakfast as a family together. So obviously family's just me and her, but I sit down to breakfast with her. I find that really important.
Yeah.
And then we do what's called family contribution in this house. It's not chores. Mm-hmm. It's not my job, and she gets to lay there. She has to help as well.
Yeah.
And then a lot of her work is done online. So she does maths and spelling, and her table's online. I have outsourced tuition. She currently has a maths tutor weekly and an English tutor weekly.
Cool.
Purely because, as I said, you know, I get to see what she's struggling with. Now, maths for her was a real struggle. Maths for me, obviously, I've managed to get to this age and I've survived okay, but it's not my strongest point. So I outsourced a tutor for her 2 years ago. She's a fabulous tutor. She specifically works with home-educated children. And she went from joining her, I've got to like say how amazing this tutor is. So she went from joining this tuition 2 years ago to not really being interested in numbers. She could add and subtract, but tables, forget it, she was not interested at all. And now she does algebra, and I've been told that she can quite easily do her GCSEs and pass at 12.
That's fantastic.
2 years ago, she wasn't interested in the slightest. The Daisy loves reading, and that English is definitely her subject, but maths, no, she wasn't interested. So now, thoroughly enjoys algebra, tells me all these amazing things about maths that I can't even remember learning at school.
And when they
learn the times tables, she teaches the seven different ways of times tables. I didn't even know there were seven, but apparently there is. And she thoroughly enjoys maths now, and she's been told that she can do her GCSEs and easily pass in 2 years. And I think that's immense for somebody that wouldn't even entertain a two times table 2 years ago.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, it just shows, you know, you find, I don't know, somebody who can just sort of spark the interest in them.
Oh, definitely.
And who obviously, you know, is sort of passionate about the subject themselves. And, you know, I think that's the thing about maths, is that it's one of those things that people like, that, you know, it's really Marmite-y. People, like, they either like it and they feel confident about it, or they just don't at all.
Definitely like that.
And I think it's, you know, and I do, and I think it's about, you know, I do think it's about how it's taught, and, you know, the kind of care and passion that gets put into it makes a massive difference.
I mean, I could try my best to teach her. That's the thing. I think a lot of people assume that I teach her everything, or that home educators teach their children absolutely everything, and that's what they can't comprehend. How can that person know absolutely everything? Well, that's the whole point. I don't know absolutely everything. But you don't have to have a tutor, not at all. It's obviously personal preference. She does have a tutor for maths. She does have a tutor for English now, because although she can read, and her reading age, I did test her reading age a couple of years ago, for interest.
It's interesting, isn't it, as much as anything else?
Like, she went from doing reading eggs online when she first started to read about four, nearly five, to reading chapter books at six. And I've not been able to stop her since. And she can read immensely fast. I mean, I have tested to see whether she is actually reading these books.
Yeah.
Like, she does reviews for the website called Topster, where the authors send her book reviews, and she gets a free book. And she did a review online. And 1 year, a couple of years ago, she got a 520-page book. I thought, great, this is going to last me a week. She read it in a two-hour car journey. And that, to me, and that she read it from front to back.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's like, oh, that's fantastic, I've read it. I was like, are you kidding me? How do you read that in 2 hours? It'd take me months to read a book like that. But oh, I just really got into it and I couldn't stop. It was amazing. I was like, okay, fair enough. But I have taken on an English tutor, as much as she loves reading. I've got to the point where I believe that the Daisy will go to college at 14.
Yeah.
I haven't taught her English the way they teach them at school.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I had a little wobble. So I have brought an English tutor in for that reason. So maybe she can go over the bits that I've missed, essentially, so that if she does want to go to college, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So that's your mornings.
Oh yeah, so the mornings, and then because we've got a dog, we bought the dog, and she cycles to the park. She loves her bike. Her bike. She's always on her bike. An excuse to get out and ride, even in the rain. And then we're home for lunch, and say then in the afternoon it's our free time. So we'll either go to the library, which is her dream place. I don't know where she got her love of reading from. Reading was the biggest concern for me, because I can't remember learning to read. That sounds a bit strange, but I can't.
That makes sense.
And that was my biggest concern, teaching her how to read. So, and I, from what I read on blogs and on an actual book, was if you have books, if you read to your child, and I always read to her, even from her being a tiny baby, even though I do remember feeling a bit silly.
Yeah.
To a baby that can't even hold her head up. But yeah, I've always read to her. She had audio. I used to read to her at night time, and then she used to have an audio book.
Yeah.
To send her off to sleep. So I read that if you are seen reading and enjoy reading, no matter what it is, whether it be a book, a magazine, anything, or audio books, that would encourage your child to read. Now, I don't know the science behind it, but that certainly helped her.
Yeah.
She got to a point with her reading where I believe she was just reading because she knew the story. She wasn't necessarily reading the words. And a fellow home educator in London, my friend, suggested to print sight words off and just put them in places relevant in the house.
Yes.
So I did, and there was a certain room that was a conservatory, but we never called it a conservatory. Anyway, I printed the word conservatory and put it on the wall, and it's the first word she ever read. Impressively big word to read at five.
That's amazing. And
there was no stopping her at all. And as I said, you know, she was reading thick chapter books at 6, 7, and now her bedroom is, I mean, she just had a birthday, and my brother asked, what can I get her for her birthday, for the bookcase? He's like, that's boring. I went, no, that's practical. And the amount of books she's having for her birthday.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's got two bookcases. Well, she will have two bookcases in her bedroom that are absolutely full. We've got bookcases downstairs. That is her passion. It's reading. So I've gone from the library being her favourite place. So, in the afternoons, it's a library visit or a social meetup, or her tutors are all in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Or we've got National Trust membership. So, yeah, it's things like that. And no two afternoons are the same. Our morning routine, I'm quite strict with, because I am on my own with her.
Yeah.
So, and I have got a house to keep. So our mornings are quite structured, and our afternoons are quite free and fluid to what we want to do, really.
That's fantastic. So you were saying that, you know, Nottingham has a really big home educating community. So what's going on in your area?
Nottingham is absolutely huge. The first time we went back to our not back to school picnic, I think it was 100 families, and the second year it was about 400 people at the picnic.
Oh my goodness.
Huge. It's they're the people that just want to show up at picnics.
That's not even everybody.
No. So Nottingham has a huge home ed community, and there's something organised every day, should you wish, from ice skating, climbing groups, gymnastics, to science lessons, music, and park social meets, literally every day. If you wanted to go out there every day and do something within the home education community, there is something there. So it's massive, huge.
Brilliant. Do you have any home ed, do you have any resource recommendations for other home ed parents?
Resource recommendations. Use your local library.
Yeah.
That's the case, use it or lose it. There's libraries closing everywhere. I mean, in Nottingham, I don't know whether it's in general, Nottingham is now like a charity based library.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's obviously from the council somewhere, but the council don't anymore. It all seems to be charity based now.
Oh wow!
The internet, fabulous resource. I'd personally tell anybody that was looking into home education now. Is to find your local community. So yeah, it's good to join the nationals to find the legalities. Obviously, local communities will help you with that as well, but to find find your local community, so which say whichever Facebook, basically, whichever area you are, and search that area and home ed, and find community and see what's going on around there. That would be the best resource before you go out and buy anything or invest in anything. Yeah, just find a community and see what's going on in your local area.
Also, they're usually pretty good about, you usually have a good mix of people, like relatively new people and people who've been doing it for a long time. And certainly in our community, there's veterans who are still very, really active.
I love my veterans. One of the veterans in Nottingham, I'm really good friends with her, and I see her quite often.
Yeah.
But her children are, I think her youngest is 17 now and got a job and everything else. But I still go to her for anything, any niggle or anything's not going right. She's my first port of call for anything home ed related that's worrying me or anything really. Yeah, find the veterans in your area, definitely the people that have been there, done that, got the t-shirt and still wear it with pride, that they're still there to support you.
Well, they're really, I mean, they usually have a lot of political knowledge as well. Like, they usually know, sometimes they know people within the LEA because of dealings with other people and all of that kind of thing. They usually know what your LEA is like with regards to home education and, all of that kind of thing, which is really useful. And also they usually know, the bigger political, they've gone through, they all were home educating during, the Badman and all of this kind of stuff. So they actually can, when there's more national stuff going on or discussion, the veterans are always there to kind of, give wider context. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is always really useful.
Especially recently with all the guidance and the politics at the moment regarding home ed. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they know what's been done in the past and what's worked for home educators. And do you know what I mean? And also because, they're usually... they're usually pretty good at getting involved in that stuff, as amongst other.
Definitely, they're often the ones there that are organising everything within the local group.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that definitely the ones that've been there, done that, seen the bad man's part of it, and they're the ones fighting for us. Really, I find locally anyway.
Well, they've got the most information, so so they can tell you if your idea, has worked in the past or has not worked or whatever. But they're also, as you say, they're also useful for just sort of like, they know what's going on in the area. They usually know loads of people, so they can put you in contact with other people that, who either have experience of the thing that you're having a problem with, or that, they are golden. Those people, they are a really important resource within the community.
Definitely.
Do you have any book recs?
To be honest, I haven't, and I did struggle with, I told you I've written some answers to help me not go on a tangent. Because I've only to be, I said about the I tested the baby's reading age, and she's actually got the reading age of a 15-year-old, and she's had that for a few years now. And she often reads on her own.
I think when you have a voracious reader, it's really, my eldest particularly now, he was a late bloomer, but he went straight into being a full-on voracious reader, and you can't keep up. You go, was this series great? Yeah, it was fantastic, but I've read them all now, and now, it's like feeding something continuously. You're like, I must find the next thing, or is there more of that, or whatever. So yeah, that's completely understandable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she read her Jackie Wilson books a few years ago. She still loves Jackie Wilson.
Yeah.
And I think there's the latest book out. She's not seen it yet, thank goodness, because I've just had my holiday and I'm trying to have a bit of breathing space. Actually, we'll go to the library. We'll borrow it from there. But she's great. She loves borrowing books from the library. And we'll borrow it and read it, but she actually wants a physical copy herself.
Yeah.
And she likes it on her bookcase. I don't know, ownership of these books. It all depends really on what your child likes to read and their learning style. But I did find at Christmas we do the book advent, so she has 24 books that lead up to Christmas, and I got to the point where I could buy all these books, but I don't really know whether she's going to. She reads the most random things I mean, I believe a couple of years ago she was reading about reflexology, and I, what you mean? She said, I want to learn. She really is a nighttime story, and then asking me to do it. Just like, I'm sure you, if that interests you, that's great, and I'll read to you, but like, oh, it just, yeah, it wasn't a bedtime story as such. So, yeah, find out their reading style, and also, as I was saying, I appreciate the Daisy Light Jacqueline Wilson books, but she'd read them all, and I went to the local library and I said, oh, Jacqueline Wilson, can you recommend me another author that writes in that style? And she was like, she's got so many books. I said, yeah, we own them all. The librarian looked at me aghast. I was like, no, seriously, she's read them, and it's not a case of, she has read them. She's read them from your library, and then I've ordered them on Amazon because she wants it physically as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, use your librarian because they have this fabulous book.
Yeah.
That's got recommendations of authors similar to the author that your child enjoys.
Yeah, because then it becomes like a kind of giant map, doesn't it? Of like, you follow this author to that author, and then that takes you to a, you know, and you can end up in a completely different place. But because, you know, each one is incremental.
I quite like one of those books myself, but you know, so we know where we're heading to. I mean, I thought the Daisy like Harry Potter books. I actively encourage her to read the book before she watches the film, because I appreciate the film misses a lot of the book. And we did that with Roald Dahl. We read all the Roald Dahl, and then the BFG came out, and I said, there's no way we're going to the cinema until we've read the book. And we did read those books as read-aloud. They are incredibly hard to read.
Yes.
As read-aloud. I don't know whether you've tried it, but gosh, yeah. Fantastic books. I loved them as a child myself, but reading them out loud was quite frustrating for both myself and her. So yeah, Roald Dahl is definitely one I'd say I'd start with, but possibly try and read it out loud. Other than that, hope that they'll read it to themselves. you know, people go, reading schemes, every child's different, every child learns to read at different stages of their life. I think reading schemes are great when you're in school, but probably not so much when you're out of school. But then, you know, that works completely different for children. So Daisy didn't do a reading scheme as such. I got her books that were recommended for early readers, but then she skipped it. She went from very basic early readers to huge books. And I personally think that if you stick rigidly to early readers and go throughout, you could possibly get a frustrated child, and then that's not interested, you know. But
I think the thing about like reading schemes and stuff is that I think they work probably better in like a collective group where everybody's reading the same sort of stories. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're at slightly different levels, but they're, you know, like they're all having this, and they see everybody else is having the same experience. We always had a problem with them in our house because the kids just went, they're boring. Don't like them. They're boring. So you just have to find other stuff and just try and find stuff it's hard finding stuff that's at the right sort of level.
Yeah,
you know, but then they get through that, and they all get through that eventually.
Yeah, I mean, the Daisy has got a reading age of a 15-year-old, but I'm very aware that she's not 15. I don't want her reading about sexual things and relationships.
No,
I want her to be a child, you know. Yeah. So although she can read it, and she probably would enjoy the story, but I have to be mindful of what's in the book. So we love charity shops, we love secondhand. She'll pick up a book. Let me read the back first. You're not touching it. So, yeah. It's being mindful of what the story's about as well, isn't it, I suppose?
I think it's helpful that there's, like, you know, there are loads of great sort of, I mean, in the US, they'd be called, like, middle grade books, which are, like, they're not the YA stuff. So they're not dealing with, they can deal with interesting stuff, but they're not dealing with the kind of more adulty stuff.
Yeah.
And we've definitely, you know, you can mine a rich vein of that for ages. And they're still, you know, they're interesting reads, and they're good use of language and whatever. They're just not, you've not got a 10-year-old who can physically read this stuff, but you wouldn't want them to, kind of thing.
Yeah.
What would you want someone, I mean, this has come up, I guess, in our conversation generally, but what would you want someone who doesn't home educate to know about home education?
don't know whether I can bring this into the conversation. Just recently, that children, I find home educated children learn in a completely different way to school children. We just recently, I've enlisted the English tutor for the Daisy's handwriting because she's self-taught with her handwriting.
Yeah.
You know, having to break quite a few habits with it. And get back to basics a bit, which is quite frustrating with her. But I went to a veteran and I had a bit of a, oh my gosh, what have I done? Have I done something wrong? And she said, home educated children are verbal. They're not necessarily written. Children at school write, and they write day in, day out, and it's all perfected very quickly.
Yeah.
You talk, if you speak to a school child, their vocab isn't as rich and depth as a home educated child. But if I could talk to somebody that doesn't home educate about home education, don't compare.
Yeah.
Don't compare your child to my child, because we learn in completely different styles. Obviously, that is obvious because your child's at school, mine's at home. I'd say, yeah, it's a comparison, really.
Yes, I understand. I know what you mean about how...
It's hard to put it into words. Obviously, yeah, it's really a tricky one. Yeah, so comparison, don't compare my child to your child. And don't just think, because I bleat on about home education all the time, which I do, I try to control myself and not bleat on about it as much, but it is a lifestyle choice.
Yeah. You know,
I am here with my child 24/7. I haven't got that. And I did ask one of my parent friends whose children go to school, what do you do in 6 hours? What do you actually do? And I think she found it quite offensive, and I didn't mean it in an offensive way, but I just think, do you go to spa or something? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You do have a maid that comes and does, obviously she doesn't. She does her housework and catches up, but 6 hours is a long time. Because I don't have 6 hours.
No.
And yes, I bet the age old, well, it's your choice. Yeah, it is my choice. I wouldn't change it for the world. Although sometimes it'd be nice just to listen to really loud music in my car and just drive off. And it'd be wonderful. Just for an hour, because I'd miss her intensely.
Yeah, but totally.
Yeah, just a comparison. Don't compare. It's difficult if you're a non-home educated family looking into a home educated family that has no interest in home educating their child. Just don't compare. Or if you're wanting to look into home education for your child, I'd say just reach out and find a community. Definitely.
Yeah, because people want to share the information with you. Like they want. You know, they want to support you and help you.
Yeah.
Do this if that's what you're choosing to do.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying about them being more verbal, I think is really like it totally makes more sense. I think it's also why home ed kids. I mean, some kids just love to write, and it doesn't matter where they are; they just love to write.
Yeah.
But I've known home ed kids who hated writing, but who wrote in school. You know, they went to school for a while. And who wrote a lot more in school to the, you know, and their parents were quite shocked. But it's like, well, yeah, but they have to. And everybody there around them is doing it. And you're just going to go and be part of that. You know, that's part of the thing. Whereas you're right, when you're at home with, you know, even when you have multiple children, but I can say particularly if you're home educating a lone child, you just have conversations about everything. Like,
it
ends up being the majority of how, you know, I mean, even in our family with three, I see a lot of their understanding come from just us talking about stuff and discussing stuff.
Yeah, definitely. The conversations you have with a home educated child, I've never had that kind of conversation with a child that goes to school. And then that's not to say that they don't converse in that way.
That's
bigger or better, but I think you, from my experiences, I can tell that a child's home educated by the way that they converse with people, and they converse with adults and children in just the same way. That's probably the one thing that the Daisy found.
Yes.
Probably difficult but different. I mean, she attends a drama school at the weekend, a big drama school. She's there for 3 hours. She absolutely loves it. But she did complain to me one day and said, I tried to spark a conversation with one of the older children. So how old were they? About 15. They weren't interested. They didn't want to talk to me. And I had to have this conversation with, and it's a really difficult conversation in some senses because she doesn't understand.
Yeah.
That at school, a 15-year-old wouldn't talk to a 9-year-old. But why? I was like, yeah, I understand why. I don't know, Lily. That's just how it is. But home-educated children aren't like that, and they're not. They're not in the... I'm not saying at some point you get some teenage attitude and probably won't talk to you. But at a home-ed picnic, I don't know whether it's all over the country, but we have a not-back-school picnic in September. And the 15, 16-year-olds are quite happy talking to the 5, 6-year-olds, quite happy that they want to interact with them, not necessarily playing with them in the sandpit or anything like that, but they're all together, and there is no divide with age. I mean, as an adult, my friends, I'm 34, I've got some friends in their 20s, but a lot of my friends are in their 40s and 50s. I think nothing of it.
No.
But yet it seems to be frowned upon when you're a child, and, you know, where does that change? I find that a bit bizarre.
Well, I guess, you know, they're in single age classes, and every, you know, there's that hierarchy of, you know, we're in the top year of the school, or, you know, or you're in the bottom year of the school, and you know what I mean, and you kind of move up. But also, so many home ed groups, you know, they tend to be quite open in age. You don't get single year groups.
No.
So kids are just used, you know, home ed kids are just used to being around kids of all different ages, and it doesn't matter. You know, because there isn't that sort of segregation, really.
And that's the wonderful, that's one of the wonderful things. That's what I just probably didn't say. What do you love about home education? And that, as well as freedom, it's freedom with ages. Like, there's no segregation. It's free range, so to speak.
It is.
So, yeah, and it's great.
Thank you so much for speaking to me today. I've really loved it. It's been fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Not a problem. And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at learninginanoxfordkitchen.co.uk and click on the link to the Home Ed Voices podcast, or follow the link on Instagram at Home Ed Voices podcast, or Twitter at Home Ed Voices. This is episode 14. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcast, as it helps more people find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrot. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with episode 15 in 2 weeks, and until then, here's to more Home Ed adventures.